What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi.
Messi anco, breaking Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the trio five singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los Ricky quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi anco. Estate listo pa' Messi anco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another live special edition of Messi and Co. I'm Ashley here, as always, with my incredible co-host, Gian, and it is the long-awaited Inter Miami versus FC Cincinnati conference semifinal preview. We have so much to talk about and discuss. I'm very excited, but of course, first and foremost, how are we feeling, Gian?
I'm doing good. Mondays are great. Mondays are amazing. We get to talk about Inter Miami. We get to hang out here and chat with everybody. We get to see our faces, especially when there's no games in between. It's been going to be a couple of weeks since the last game. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to talk about the farthest Inter Miami has ever gotten in a playoff series against an incredible opponent away from home. Like, this is, I feel like, the beginning of a crazy story. So I'm just excited to talk about all of it.
I love it. Me too. I'm really excited too. I mean, with the international break and like after such a huge high of the game of the game three, and then getting ready for this, and obviously seeing Messi and Argentina score and get another assist, which we'll talk about briefly. I've just been getting more and more excited for this game, and it's going to be Sunday. It's going to be here before we know it, and it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. I remember the last game. The crowd against Nashville, against our rivals. I call them our rivals now just because of the fact that we've played them so many times. Like, we played them four times in a row. We met in Leagues Cup final. Like, this is a rivalry in the brewing. And I felt like when we played against them, it was the crowd. You could feel it in the crowd. The players were amped up. And I feel like this is going to take a step even bigger step. I feel like the players are really going to feel this one going against Cincinnati. And, I don't know. I'm just excited. It's like it's such a formidable opponent. It's such a great matchup. It's two different types of teams. Like, there's just so much going on between two different offenses, two different types of defenses. You've got a matchup of Messi versus Evander. Like, there's a lot of storylines and a lot of cool things to talk about, which is just something that you want, like, in these types of matchups. You don't want a boring semifinal. Like, this will be fun to see.
No, I totally agree. It's going to be a good one. Every time we play Cincinnati, it's a good energy and atmosphere. And to your point, there's a lot of topics to get into. But before we get into the game itself and the matchup, we obviously, this show is called Messi and Co. So I think it's important that we mention Messi goes and plays against Angola, obviously with the Argentinian national team, and gets a goal and assist, light work for him with the travel and everything. Obviously, we spoke about in our last episode the fact that he just was showed up in Barcelona at the Camp Nou and just like all of a sudden we're like, whoa, what are you doing there? But him and Rodrigo de Paul go for the international friendly, and he puts on another great performance. His form right now is just like really untouchable.
It's crazy. Like it carries on. It's just not. It's not just an MLS. Like anywhere he goes, he just puts on a show for everybody. And I watched the game. Well, part of it, the highlights. I watched the game. I wasn't able to catch it live. I watched some of the highlights now, actually, before getting on here. And just a really nice pass into Lautaro Martinez for the first goal, and then Lautaro Martinez returns the favor and gets a pass into the box into Messi. Messi controls it, turns around, and rifles a shot in, and it was just. It's what you come to expect from Messi. And I don't know. I'm just like, you know, against Angola, like out of all the teams, as you prepare for the World Cup, it's against Angola. And Angola, I don't know if you knew this, Ash, but Angola actually paid $12 million to Argentina to have that game played in Angola. Yeah, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And they were celebrating their independence from Portugal. So it was their 50th anniversary. So they try to make it a whole ordeal. You bring in Argentina, the World Cup champs, you bring in Messi, put on a show in front of 50,000 that were in attendance in Angola Stadium. So it was a party there, and Messi showed up and he did it. And I think that despite it being a friendly, it's great to have him kind of continue to put on these performances ahead of what's going to be a crazy matchup against Cincinnati. And the best thing is he played a lot and he didn't get injured, which is the most important thing.
I know. Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood, he didn't get injured. But it also begs the question, like, do you want your players traveling like this much during the break, you know? And that's – I've seen opposite sides of the conversation. So you're like, bro, just stay at home, relax on the beach in Miami, like, you know. But – It's a give and take, because you didn't relax, but you maintained yourself in tip top shape and in form, in goal scoring form, and I think that's good for Messi.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think what it shows with Messi, I think your points are valid, and you know, sometimes I'm like in the back of my head, I'm like, oh no, just like stay good, stay healthy, don't, you know, all this stuff. But the fact that he still has that same passion for the national team, and again, like we said, Argentina, you know, defending champions of both the World Cup and Copa America, and that he still starts and plays at such a high level, can only mean good things for him at Inter Miami. Like, it really could. And so, can I just take that energy and we'll see it. We'll see it for the match. What's up, Nick? I see we have Aloha friends. Are you based in Hawaii? If so, that'd be cool. So in the end, we don't have to worry about the ifs, ands, or buts. He went, he came back, scored, assisted, had a good time, went to Camp Nou. Everything's great. And so now he's here and ready and fully focused for this game against Cincinnati. And I guess we should get into that, because there's a lot of components to talk about with this game, starting with where it's going to be, because obviously, unfortunately, it's not a home game for Inter Miami. It's away at TQL Stadium in Cincinnati. It's going to be, you know, a difficult atmosphere. It's going to be Sunday at 5 p.m. It's one of the stadiums. It's one of the better stadiums in MLS. And I think it will have like a really big crowd. It'll be exciting. And knowing you're either going to, if you win, you face either Philadelphia or New York City, a lot at stake. But Inter Miami and of course Messi have performed on big stages and hostile environments their whole career. So, you know, what are you thinking about that? I think it'll be a good atmosphere regardless and a great stage for that kind of match.
Yeah, of course, TQL is a great stadium to play in. And I think you bring up a good point. Like, it's a hostile environment, definitely. And the crowd is going to be crazy. And Cincinnati has a great fan base. But at the end of the day, you're talking about players that have played in these types of atmospheres. If you want to just focus on the top five right now, or the five all-stars that we have, you talking about Busquets, Jordi, Messi, Suarez, that have played in Camp Nou and Bernabeu, San Siro, like all these different stadiums and playing in Champions League games. So at the end of the day, whatever stadium they play, it's not something that they haven't played for. They know how to control their nerves, how to control their emotions. And look, as great as TQL Stadium is, it's not anything that, you know, it's not remotely close to some of these other historic stadiums that they've played in. So I don't know how much of that will be a factor, but it's definitely a cool stadium to play in. And then you talk about the other players, right? Outside of the five, which I actually forgot to mention, Depol also somebody that's played in some of these top European.
Even international, think about when they played in Brazil, Uruguay, exactly. Ecuador, et cetera. Like, that's really, talk about a hostile environment.
Yeah, you talk about playing in El Maracanã. Like, that's insane. And I think that Messi and Depol, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they've even played in La Bombonera, where Boca Juniors plays. I think Argentina maybe had a game there. I'm not sure. But yeah, and then like I was saying, outside of those players, you're talking about Inter Miami has played in, you know, against top teams in the Club World Cup. They've had to go and play in Mexico, like play some of these incredible stadiums that Mexico has, where you're talking about 60, 70, 80,000 spectators. TQL Stadium, I believe, only has a capacity of 20-something thousand. It's 26,000 fit in TQL Stadium. So, I mean, it's a nice stadium, but at the end of the day, these guys have played in crazier stadiums, crazier atmospheres and situations. So they'll be up to the task.
I wonder what the weather is going to be like, because it's in Ohio and it's definitely outdoors. So
that's a good point. I wonder what it is right now here in Miami. We're 70s, 80s. That feels nice.
It'd be nice if it was here, but Cincinnati, Ohio is definitely different weather. I'm going to look that up really quick in real time just while we're looking at it. Okay, so it says high of 56, low of 38 and cloudy. So it'll be cold. It'll be cold, but it won't be
The game's at freezing during the daytime, so luckily it won't be I think the coldest. Like if you're talking about a low of 38, it's probably not going to get to 38 around 5, I assume. Like if it's going to be 38, it's probably later on at night. Yeah. So luckily it's a earlier game, something earlier than what we're used to. They're used to seeing like 8 p.m. games, 9 p.m. games.
Yeah, yeah, so GP20 Rock saying 38 to 55. Yeah, I think if it's in the 40s and low 50s, we'll be okay. It shouldn't be too much of a factor, but I'm glad. Good thing to note. Okay, that's environment we talked about. Shouldn't be an issue for like you said, the Stars, but even players like, I think, Noah Allen, Ian Frey, like they've played enough with Inter Miami in the last 2 years where I think they've experienced enough big crowds and quote unquote hostile environments where I trust them to hold their own and like the form the team is playing in. I'm hoping it won't be a detractor, but if anything, just like a motivation to play your best and to enjoy the stage. And they'll be sharing the stage, obviously, with a player that is very well known in MLS outside of Messi, which is Evander, has been a potential MVP multiple seasons now. One of the best players in the league, like I said, and is pretty good. So how do you think the Messi versus Evander matchup is going to kind of be?
Dude, you're talking about two powerhouses, two all-stars. Obviously, I'm not going to put Evander on the same level as Messi by any means, but it's two guys.
Better hair.
That are, it's two guys that basically are the motors behind their teams, the guys that their team depends on when the game is, you know, very close, when they need that special player to come out and bring them out of whatever they're going through. Like, these are two guys that are always in the MVP talks and voting. Obviously, Messi's about to win his second MVP, but Evander's always there in the conversation. So I think it's a great matchup. You're talking about watching, a Michael Jordan, if it was NBA, Michael Jordan versus I probably shouldn't have got myself into this conversation.
Allen Iverson, maybe
an Allen Iverson. Like, if I would have said Kobe, people
we're talking about practice. Like, oh my God, remember that episode last year when we were going through that?
Yeah, but no, you're talking about Michael Jordan and Messi versus another top three, top four guy in MLS, especially in that position. He's their number 10. So I think it's going to be incredible. You look at some of these stats. I mean, Messi is just in round one versus Nashville, 5 goals, 3 assists. That's crazy. Like 8 goal contributions in one playoffs. Like if you would have told me 8 goal contributions in an entire playoff run, I think that's crazy. Like that's insane. 5 goals, 3 assists all the way through, you know, throughout the playoffs and the final. That's an insane stat line. But if you just say that's only in one series, that's crazy. So the fact that Messi has been playing progressively better and better and better and just in time for this matchup is crazy. And then Evander. Evander has 33 goal contributions this season for Cincinnati. He ranks – I'm going to give you a few stats here on Evander that are really, really good. So, one, he ranks in the 99th percentile for non-penalty goals among midfielders. So he has got a lot of goals from the run of play. We've got – he's 92nd percentile for expected assists, 89th percentile for progressive passes, 93 percentile for through balls, 95th percentile for passes into the penalty area. That just shows how dependent they are on him to create plays, to get players running into space. Like, look at that. Through balls, passes into the penalty area, progressive passes, almost all within the 90th percentile and up for all of those metrics. So the fact that it shows you how dependent and how good that Evander is. But really, like, Ash, who are we giving the edge to? Like, despite everything that you just heard about how good Evander is, who are we giving the edge to in that one-to-one? Who means the most to their team? I mean, I'm posing the question. We all know the answer, but it's just so we can hear it. Just so we can hear it, Ash.
I'll say 48 goal contributions versus 33 greatest of all time. I'll probably take Lionel Messi.
Of course, 100%, 100%. That's the difference maker between this team. But I think it's important to note that you've got a really great matchup here, not just between the teams, but between the two top dogs, two guys in MVP talks, and both of them just playing insane going into this playoff series, going into the semifinal. It's going to be a show, and that's what we're here for. We're here to watch this show between two incredible guys.
Well, so I think that's a really good point. And I would say, outside of Evander, who are other players for Inter Miami and even Cincinnati that can make a really big difference? I mean, I think this Rocco is the key. He's a talisman. Well, I don't know about that, but I will say the defense in general and the goalkeeper are huge for this game. And, like, you know, obviously our attack has been great. We're seeing Allende in great form, obviously Messi in the best form. Suarez, in big games, you still expect him to show up. Jordi Alba right now playing at such a crazy high level. It's that part I'm not really worried about. It's about the defense and midfield, the DePauls, the Busquets, the Ian Frays, the, you know, Maxi Falcón, etc., Noah Allen, having to make sure they're playing at a good level, shutting down Evander, shutting down the Cincinnati attack to be able to keep the game.
Yeah, look, Evander leads Cincinnati in shots, in goals, in assists, and key passes. He leads them in everything. If you're able to shut him down, it's tough in and of itself, but if you're able to somehow control him just a bit, you're going to cause major damage for Cincinnati. But then outside of Evander, I mean, there are 10 other players on that team. You're talking about who else has the most shots and the most goals outside of Evander. That's Kevin Denke. He's got 15 goals compared to Evander's 18. And then you talk about assists. You got Pavel Buka, who also is right second behind Evander with 7. So those are two guys that you're going to want to also watch out for. So it's not just Evander, but it's Denke and Buka. Those are two guys that you're going to – are a big part of that offense, a big part of driving and opening the plays for the teams, scoring. So I think that those are two other guys that you're going to probably want to watch out for. Lucas Engel is another guy that's able to make key passes. Luca Orellano also. Like, they've got a really good team, and it shows. And I think that we'll probably talk about this in the next topic, but just the fact that this team, with the players that they have, they're players that don't give up either. Like, when they played against Columbus, they won, and then they lost 4-0, and they would come out of that. Like, we talked about that earlier, I think, in one of our, or at least we mentioned in one of our other episodes, how difficult that is mentally to beat a team and then lose 4-0. Like, that's not a close game. And the fact that they were able to come back and bounce back from that with these types of players, I think it speaks a lot to this team and how it's not going to be easy at all.
100%. And that's a good way of putting it. So like, how would you categorize, like you put here, the historic attack versus the grind? Like, how does that balance out? How does that even out in a head-to-head match?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a historic attack, you're talking about Inter Miami. You're talking about some of the best to ever play the game in their positions, especially Inter Miami is very top heavy, very top heavy. We know that the defense at times has been questionable. We've seen, and it's in part the personnel defense wise, but a lot because of the style that Inter Miami plays, where they lend themselves to counterattacks, and sometimes they don't have their midfielders in the right place to be able to absorb that counterattack and that pressure. But up front, the attack is historic. The numbers that they've been able to put up. You talk about players up front with Suarez. Suarez maybe not scoring as much as last season, but him kind of facilitating and being in that playmaking role and still being able to score and help in that area. You talk about Messi. You talk about a Tadeo Allende that we criticized earlier on in the season for missing easy shots in front of goal. And the fact that we were saying how many goals this team would have if he had just put in half or even a quarter of the chances that he had. Well, he's on a tear now. He's scored 7 goals in his last 10 matches. Like, that is an insane attack to think about. Then you throw in Jordi Alba, who is a left back that is basically another striker up front. And now the emergence of Baltasar, and now you have Silvetti getting in minutes. Like, man, like the options for this team are honestly incredible.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be a fun one. Well, Austin reposted us. Shout out to Austin.
Oh my God, sweet.
Austin was the OG, man. The founder of Messi and Co.
Man, we miss Austin. I know he's out of the game and I know he's not doing much, but man, if he ever wants to swing by and jump on an episode, that would be amazing, honestly.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's so 100%. Cool. But so yeah, that's Inter Miami. They have the third best expected goals per game recorded in MLS history since 2013. I mean, we've seen them. Like, they don't just beat teams. They honestly are just
when they're on their own.
Like, they're manhandling them.
I like
mandarin. And then, man, what the hell did I say? Mandarin. I don't even know what the hell I said. So yeah, they won 20 games this year. 16 of them were I'm talking about Cincinnati. Cincinnati's the difference here. They're more of like the grind team, as we have in the topic. They're more the team that they're not just absolutely manhandling. They're not manhandling the teams. The games are a lot closer. They're grinded out games. They're games that are, you know, as I was saying, they played 20 games this year, 16 of them by they won 20 games and they won 16 of them by one goal. So the difference really isn't a lot.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, some may see that as a weakness and say, oh, okay, they're not that good offensively. I would say maybe they're not the best offensively from the sense where they're just scoring that many goals, but it also shows how gritty of a team they are, how much they fight, and how you can probably expect this series, as we go into the final predictions later on, how you can expect this series to go as far as being close.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Right. And I think it'll be a really gritty, tough fought game, and a game where Inter Miami is probably going to have to score early. Like, I think we've seen these games where Inter Miami goes in and they're not playing that good, and then they try to turn it on right at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And then right at but this is one of those teams that you don't want to do that. Like, you want to get in early, you want to take the lead, you want to be able to control the game from the beginning, and that'll be important against this two different types of offenses, right? Completely different.
Yeah, well, and that's a really good point, because one of the things that Cincinnati is good at that we are not good at, and that has been a trouble for Inter Miami this whole season, is set pieces. And that is something we can't lose the battle on. It's like, I think of like the football and basketball equivalent, where it's like, you can't lose this turnover battle, because that's how you lose games. Yeah. I think for Inter Miami, you can't let Cincinnati have multiple set piece opportunities, and you cannot let them score on them, because that has been definitely an Achilles heel for this team. And that could separate a game, you know, that could make a game flip on its head.
Yeah, look, the times that there have been times where this team looks good defensively from the run of play, where they're able to control counters, where they're able to have Busquets and have the ball clog up that middle and draw the teams out wide, and then just have trouble scoring on Inter Miami. But the times that they have scored when we've looked good defensively have been from set pieces. And that even happened to us against Nashville, like in this last series. In that game where we lost 2-1, I believe none of those came from the run of play. One was a penalty by Sam Surge, and then the other one was Josh Barr, and that was a set piece. And so you look at that game, and it's just kind of a bit misleading, because you're like, okay, damn, we lost 2-1. Man, this defense sucks. This defense this defense that. But at the end of the day, it wasn't the defense. Like, the defense really didn't allow any goals. It was those set pieces. And you talk about a team that has historically, we've seen time and time again, suffered against the set piece. It wasn't just against Nashville. Like, we've had other games where we've suffered against the set piece. And now going against a team that is good with set pieces, you're going to have to pay extra attention to that. You're going to have, I'm sure that in practice, they're going to be having corner kicks and free kicks, and, you know, making sure that they're able to double down on that and make sure that they're ready for a really good team. We saw Evander, like, he's going to be able to get balls into the right areas. And you talk about, also when you talk about set pieces, like, aerial balls, like, that doesn't only come from the set piece. Like, those are things that they're going to have to practice for and be ready for, when just from the run of play, those crosses into the area that guys like Evander and others can do on that team to be ready for it. So,
yeah. And I mean, the height issue has been an issue for Inter Miami, but, like, you know, in these set pieces, you need to have like Ian Frey, Sergio Busquets, you need Suarez, have them in the box, active, ready to beat their man and head the ball out. I mean, it has been an issue, because obviously when you see Maxi Falcone and Noah, who have been so great for us in the run of play, obviously a height disadvantage, and Jordi Alba height disadvantage, like, it's just really important when you're getting to this stage of the playoffs, and it's like these win or go home games, you have to make sure every area is accounted for. And so Inter Miami, I'm sure, like you said, have been practicing it. And since they won game 3, the coaches being able to have this time during the international break, making sure that all the things you can control, you control, and you do the best version of it.
Yeah, and talking about what you can control how you play outside the area and making sure you don't make these silly fouls. We've seen sometimes us get fouls right outside the area, right outside the box, whether it be closer to the corner kick or you know, towards the top of the box, when players aren't even looking and they have their backs turned against the goal. And like, those are the silly tic-tac fouls that you need to avoid as a defense, as a midfield. You can't give these type of set pieces to a team like this. You can't give this type of set pieces to Evander that is good with them. I mean, this is an interesting and probably a surprising stat for many, but Evander actually beats Messi in set piece goals. Evander has 3 this season compared to Messi's 2. So do as best you. I mean, you need to play defense aggressively. You need to play smart. And part of being smart is making sure you're disciplined. Exactly. And it goes back to what you said about, you know, our height. Like there's a taller defender out there. Unfortunately, he's not disciplined, and hence why he's on the bench, right? So
because
exactly the type of fouls that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, it's true. There's so many factors going into the game. I feel like we're still only scratching the surface. Like, and when the time comes, I mean, what do you think? Like, what do you think is going to happen? First of all, who do you think is, in terms of starting, do we think it's going to be exactly the same lineup, but instead of Silvetti, it will be Suarez? Besides that, everything else will be the same setup?
I 100% think it'll be Suarez. I 100%. I want to see something.
But Silvetti could be a huge, like, second half, make a huge difference from coming off the bench like a freaking firecracker.
Oh, 100%. He's a guy that you would love to have off the bench because he brings energy from the beginning. The fact that you can have him there to bring him in rested once everybody else is tired, and with his speed, with the legs that he has, his ability to dribble past defenders, I think it's huge for them. Our last game, 4-0 against Nashville, I'm going to go over the starters. We had, obviously, Rios Novo in the goal. Then we had Noah Allen and Falcón as our center backs. And then our fullbacks were Alba and Frey. And then in the midfield, we had Tadeo Allende, De Paul, Busquets, Baltasar Rodriguez. And then up front, we had Messi and Silvetti. How that really played out, though, was Messi playing a lot more of a false nine. And then you had Tadeo Allende, Silvetti, Rodriguez basically at times like a line of three where Messi was just floating in front of them. Then he'd be between lines, between the front three and Busquets and De Paul. Like Messi was free flowing. And a lot of times it was Silvetti and Tadeo Allende in attack. And I really liked how that was. I like more about that lineup than anything is the amount of, I think, pressure that we put on the, yeah, on the, as Nashville was trying to build out of the back, I think we saw a lot more pressure. Not to say Suarez doesn't. I think Suarez does a good job. But just with a younger guy like Silvetti in there, I think we saw a lot more pressure on there. I liked that a lot. And you had guys that are fast that were able to make runs into space. And I think that showed a lot. But at the end of the day, Silvetti, as I think he's started maybe four games, actually, something like that. He's a young kid. This is a semifinal, and I think you need the experience of a guy like Suarez. So we'll have to see how much he plays at the end of the day. Like, I don't know how long he'll play. He'll probably play the entirety of the game, but Silvetti's there when you need him, and he can make a world of a difference. So,
yeah, and I mean, this is a good point by GP20 Rock. Like, if a game goes past 90 minutes, like, having the subs that make a difference, obviously, like, if we have a Silvetti coming off the bench, we have Segovia coming off the bench, you know, like there's plenty of good reinforcements for this team. But it's just about throughout the whole game, you know, establishing, I think, possession, establishing strong defense, trying to get balls over the top. I mean, with, you know, Suarez, not the same speed, but when you're Cincinnati, if you see Suarez get an early shot or set up Messi for an early shot, you're you know, nervous and you're playing differently from the beginning of the game. And it just takes a minute of or I'd even say a second of Messi brilliance and Suarez brilliance, Alba, etc. I mean, also we have to remember this could potentially be Alba and Busquets' final matches. We hope not. But, you know, everyone's going to be playing at a high level. Rodrigo De Paul, too, who we haven't mentioned that much. I mean, like I said, in the game three versus Nashville, I thought he was awesome. Like, amazing. He played so good. He was everywhere. He was able to set the team up and cover all the spaces. And if we see that again and you let Messi and Suarez Allende be free-flowing and get their chances, you know, it makes a huge difference for this Inter Miami team and how they are able to attack relentlessly.
Yeah, I think this Nashville series was the kind of the awakening for De Paul, right? We have, I heavily criticized him and his performance. I know that he comes in, you know, without, he doesn't get that full preseason. He doesn't get, you know, I think maybe he wasn't ready as when he came in, but as he starts to get more games under his belt, you can see him kind of progressing. And I don't think he's exactly where he needs to be or where we want him yet, but I think he's taking a big step forward in this Nashville series. I think he's running more. He's getting his legs under him. At times he looked tired earlier on in the season, and he's really been chasing after the balls. His passes have been more accurate. He's been better. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, is just part of getting your legs under you. So I'm happy from what I've seen, at least the last couple of games. And I think that if he can carry that on to the season, you're going to need it against some of these really good attackers on Cincinnati's team. And then you talk about another guy that stands next to him. His name's Busquets. That, for me, I think is my biggest takeaway from the Nashville series is if you don't have Busquets in your midfield and you plug him in between the two center backs, between Noah Allen and Falcón, you lose a huge part of that midfield that you need, that is able to make the through passes, that's able to open up the game for everybody else, that's able to make the quick decisions. And as soon as Mascherano decided to not play with that experiment again and keep Busquets in the midfield, this team completely looked different. And that, to me, it's probably the key for the Cincinnati game. Like, you know what you're going to get from Messi, right? You know what you're going to get from Suarez. Well, Suarez can sometimes be, you never know if you're going to get a goal from him. He depends how passive he plays. But you know what you're going to get from Messi. You know what you're going to get from this new version of Tadeo Allende that's a freaking on a rampage scoring. Busquets is the one guy you need in that midfield. And if he can be there, this team is just going to, like, offensively, they're going to be connected. If he's not, they're going to look disconnected. They always do when he's not there.
Yeah, true. And I mean, Yannick Bright, too, could be a big factor off the bench. I mean, think about that. Like, think about the second half. If the game is tight, we'll give our predictions in a second, what we think the scoring is going to look like in the end result. But if the game's tight and then you're in the 70th minute, 65th minute, 75th minute, and you have players like Segovia and Silvetti and Yannick Bright come in, I mean, that is really like you. Those are starters on a lot of teams, you know, like, so it could be a bench battle, and this is an important match for Mascherano to show that he can coach big games, big moments, tactically outclass and you know, personnel wise do better than his opponents. And when we said it in the beginning, hostile environment, a great team in Cincinnati, an MVP in Evander. You have to get a lot of things right. I mean, Messi helps. Messi helps make a lot of things right. But just, you know, it'll be really important to see, one, you know, how we think he's going to set up, but how he reacts to the game as it's happening and adjustments that he has to make to see it through.
Yeah, I was about to say it's going to be a close game, but every time I say it's going to be a close game, I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about anymore. I said the last game against Nashville was going to be a close game and ended up being 4-0. So, but look, there's a big difference. These teams are evenly matched. I feel like obviously the big difference is we have Messi. The other difference is this team can look ordinary for 70 minutes. They can look lackluster. They can look ordinary. They can look like they don't have enough to get it through. And then someone decides, you know what, I'm going to take over. That someone is Messi. And we've seen that happen over and over again. And they have that, like, fifth gear where they can just turn it on in a second while other teams don't have that, while Cincinnati doesn't have that. They'll grind through the entirety of the game. They don't have that one extra notch on their belt, that one extra gear that they can put. And Miami has that. Miami will surprise you like that. And we've seen it many times. And then part of that, having that fifth gear, is not only having Messi on there and collectively as a team, but you talk about what a blessing it is to have these type of players on your bench. Ash, you said it, like having a Yannick Bright on there, having Telasco Segovia, a starter from the Venezuelan national team, having Silvetti, a young kid from the U20 Argentina team. Like, to have these guys on the bench for that extra, you know, you need an extra burst of energy. You need to lock in the midfield. You need, like, whatever scenario you have, you've got a guy that can, you can plug in and will fit that need. And I think that that's something that puts Inter Miami over Cincinnati. I mean, I have a really good feeling.
Let's talk about it. I mean, this is, I think, honestly, a great way of saying if Messi is rested, no worries. And look, we've watched Inter Miami over the last few years, and we have predicted sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly, how they can perform and what they perform at. And, you know, knock on wood, you never know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of live sports. But let me tell you something right now. Messi playing at this level and this good and, you know, injury-free, consistent, the goals and assists he's had and the stakes of this game. Because, I mean, I said it earlier, but look, they know it's Alba and Busquets that are going to be retiring, and they want them to play. They want to do as much as they can. They believe in this team. Messi just extended. It's a big moment for this team, and this playoffs is really important to say how the season was as a whole. And so I just think more than ever, like, I don't know how you can bet against Inter Miami, how you can bet against Lionel Messi. I think Inter Miami are going to win, and I think they're going to win by maybe two goals, because I just think right now, and it's no slight on Cincinnati, because Cincinnati is great. And when we do our live stream next Monday, the day after the game, and being able to say in real time, you know, you never know what can happen. Evander is a huge X factor. TQL playing there, it's going to make it a great atmosphere. I just don't know how right now you can bet against Messi. You just can't. You really can't. More than ever.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can't bet against Messi, but I'm still trying to figure out how close this game is going to be. And the fact that I feel like it's going to be a grinded out game, especially because it's going to be away from home. And the fact that Cincinnati has played really good at home as well. What did you say again? What was your score?
I just said that we were going to win by two goals. I will give my score prediction, which is I think it'll be, I have my safe answer, but I'm going to go with my unsafe answer, which I think it's going to be 4-2. I think it's going to be, going to be a banger. Yeah, I think
so. Wow. Okay.
I hope it's 2-0 or 4-0 and Inter Miami do what they did in the Nashville game. But I just think at home, like Cincinnati, Evander, like I said, you know, you got to give them a little bit of respect. And so because of that, I do think they'll score. But I think Inter Miami will score much more.
Damn, 4-2. That's a lot of optimism. I love it. I have that same optimism. I just think four goals away from home.
No, it would be a heart attack game for sure.
It's insane. That's insane. I honestly, damn, it's like, should I go with the side of me that is an Inter Miami fan, or should I go with the logical side that says this is going to be a tough game in Cincinnati? I'm going to go with the logical side, and everybody can hate on me, whatever. I don't care. I'm going to go, it's 2-2. And then, yeah, it's going to be 2-2. 2-2 tie.
Penalties?
Yeah, 100%. Inter Miami wins in penalties. That's what I'm going.
Jen, I don't want that. Don't put that into the atmosphere. That's going to give me a freaking heart.
I think it's
going to
be that. I honestly think it's going
to
be too.
Why can't you agree with your wife? Look at Anna, 3-1 Inter Miami. That's a great score. Real Deal gave the same score. Like that's 4-2, 3-1, 2-0. Like that's the score. 2-2 in penalties. Do you want me to like be under the covers hiding? I mean, oh my God, my heart. I don't have a good heart. I mean, for God's sake, like, you also don't have a good tough heart. Game. We both don't have good hearts. We can't risk this.
It's going to be a tough game. I'm telling you, I think that you have, okay, because you're facing Evander, who is a top three. I think was he top three in MVP or top four? You're talking about a team that is gritty, and a lot of their games are close. Like a lot of, as we said, out of the 20 games that they won, 16 have been by one goal.
Heart attack errands. That's what people say, right?
Heart attack errands. I really think it'll be close, 2-2. I think that, and look, it's never fun to see your team be in penalties, but once they win in penalties, that's when it feels so damn good after the penalties are over. But between there, you're shitting, you know what? Oh, wait, actually, I said that in reverse.
I think you meant that in reverse. It's okay. Yeah. We're allowed to curse. It's okay.
That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it'll be very close.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah. What is it? Miami played them enough. They have their number. Question is Suarez sitting second half. I don't see a world where Suarez sits unless he's injured. That guy will stay in 90 minutes and he'll want to kick the penalty. You said it earlier, Ash. If Silvetti comes in, it's going to be for Baltasar probably. I mean, it's not going to be.
Or Allende, and they change formation a little bit. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Jeez, I really messed that one up. That's funny.
That is really funny. I think that we've covered every inch of this semifinal. We've talked about all the different components, and now all that's really left is to see the game unfold. I mean, we have to wait 6 days, but I'm just so excited for it. We'll be doing our live coverage. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Messi & Co. or X at Messi & Co. And I just look, championship DVD. That's my favorite phrase to say. This because this is all part of the championship DVD, and Inter Miami, although away game against a great opponent in Cincinnati, the way they're playing right now, and the team we have, the heart we have, not our hearts but their heart. I think that we're in good shape, and in a week from now, I think we'll be saying Inter Miami are going to the conference finals, whether it's against Philadelphia or New York City, we don't know yet, but I believe in this team, and I think we can do it.
Yeah, look, it looks like nobody agrees with me in chat. Everybody thinks we're going to win by a lot. So I like that. That's good. I hope it is like that, because as we just said,
two penalties is just diabolical.
Yeah, no. So I hope that doesn't happen. That's my prediction. I hope it doesn't happen. It looks like, again, nobody in chat agrees with me, and I hope that's the case. I hope we win by two goals, like you said, Ash, 4-2. So, you know, but I really do think that we'll win. I really do. That's guaranteed. However it happens, the end result is a victory for Inter Miami coming back home to finish it here and go to the final.
I love it. All right. Well, let's see if it happens. Thank you everyone for watching and participating in the chat. Make sure if you're watching this later, thank you for watching. Tell us what you think about our points we made. We covered a lot of ground. What do you think is going to be the X factor in this match? Who do you think is going to score? Is it just going to be Messi's better than everyone, and so we win? Because I mean, that's kind of always what I think it ends up being, and I like it that way. I'll keep it, but really exciting. We're rooting for Inter Miami, and we're looking forward to the match. So thank you everyone for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gianna. We will see you next time.